I'd like to call this meeting order that late. We're being recorded now, so let's have the Pledge of Allegiance. Elaine's not here. Oh, let's go ahead. Please stand. And there's our flag. Please join me as we renew our pledge to the most visible sign of freedom in the world. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, colleagues. Please be seated. We have the roll call by Mr. Tetzloff.
Let's see.
Elaine was walking.
Okay. She's coming?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll start with Jean.
I'm here.
Meredith, present. Barbara, present. Sandy is absent. I am present. And Elaine is present. Mr. President, we have a forum.
Thank you, sir. Public comment? Do we have any public comment wishing to speak?
We do.
Or no?
Yes.
Or we do.
All right. We have the young and effervescent Crystal Miles. I'd like to speak to us on item number 7. Do we wait? Do we get 7 or can she speak now?
What was that? She has to time you. Oh, do I do it now? Or
yeah, you can do it now,
Crystal. Okay, all right. Well, thank you very much. Good morning. Nice to see everyone. I'm just coming to speak item 7, which is the bylaws. Full disclosure, I was part of the committee that helped go through the bylaws to make some, I feel, necessary changes and corrections. And one of the best examples I can give is, for instance, at our general meetings, we have probably 30 people, perhaps, maybe 30 to 40 in our small subcommittees, like mine, Housing and Transportation, where I'm the chair. I have maybe 10 to 12. And we get valuable information from our speakers, and they come and they speak for maybe 30 minutes or, you know, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. And when I go give my report, I have 2 minutes to relay and convey some really great important information. And I'm trying to convey that 30 minutes of information to 30 people, and I only have 2 minutes to do it. So I'd like to see the bylaws go to the general SCAC as they are, where we're eliminating for the time being, that's probably not the best word, the subcommittees, and having these different presenters come to the full meeting, because you're missing out on 2/3 of the individuals that are able to relay that information onto their liaison, to their councils or their senior committees or whatever. So I fully support what was put forth for the bylaws and really hope that people recognize that this is a good thing. It's going to help with the mission statement. It's going to help getting the information out and be able to touch a broader base.
Okay, well, isn't it possible to have them contact our schedulers and have them, our presenters, and have them as a full presentation?
You mean
to SCAC?
Absolutely, but then yes, they would come to the general SCAC, but if you have them come to the 10 or 12, then they're repeating the information to the whole general
SCAC. Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
So the bylaws are suggesting that we, unless needed later on, you remove the standing committees, have one meeting and general meeting, and would have these different presenters, like I had the veterans office come, and it would be able to be presented in front of 30 to 35 people instead of just 10 to 12.
Yeah, we had talked about that very much more than that.
Yeah, so that was.
Well, thank you, Crystal. You can please stick around if you like and listen to this good stuff. You gotta go, you gotta go campaign, stump that trail.
Okay, I get it. Hey, I know.
Thank you.
Office on Aging updates. All right, get up, take it away.
Just a couple of things Pauline wanted to pass along. She's mentioned the bylaws will be on the September 8th meeting, but I see you guys are talking about the bylaws, so sure, more discussion will be on that. And then Victor Mendez also is no longer on SCAC, so yes. Supervisor Sarmiento will be working on getting a replacement.
Okay, well, you're a lot quicker than Pauline. Okay, how about SCAC attendance update, Dave? Anything you want to comment on there? Or
oh, gosh, I forgot the pile. I'm sorry. I forgot the pile.
They signed, no problem. But taking a look at the attendance sheet from The last meeting, which unfortunately I was unable to attend, it looked like we're in good shape.
Yeah, we had a good turnout.
Anybody that's going to miss the four meetings per year or three.
Good.
Six, unless someone that was absent August misses September and October. But no, I think
I'm hearing at least from those that are absent, they're calling and giving a reason why, and I always stress, you know.
But there isn't.
I know, but they just do it.
Right. No,
out of courtesy, I guess.
Out of courtesy, right. But
all right, Dave,
I'm not sure if everybody is aware that there's no excused absence,
right,
although it's been said.
It's more like an RSVP.
Yeah.
I think it's the longer standing members who were used
yes,
to
yes. All right. Okay,
but no, I think we're in good shape.
Discussion items. Discuss data. Okay, already did that. I'm going to plan for the interaction with the board.
Wait. So is there a date and for the bylaw standing committee formation?
We have a standing committee.
Okay.
Bylaws.
Okay. Well,
that's already been established.
Okay. Yeah. I'm reading the agenda item. Discuss date and facilitation of bylaw standing.
I think I was just a cut and paste. We should have picked up on that. The reality is we already have a standing committee. They've met, they've come up with a product. The product's been submitted to the Office on Aging, who has submitted all the way up their chain. They got it back. They had some changes on it again and sent it back up. And now we're waiting for that to come back.
We're ready. We're going to talk about that.
So September 8th.
Well, so that's already come back.
So when do we see it?
So we'll see it on September 8th.
Okay. Because I have a tag on comment to what Crystal just said. And that is pre-COVID. The standing committee chairs or a member of their committee would always submit a written report that went through all of the information that was at the standing committee. And that was one way of getting the information out to everybody. So I don't know if the bylaws have addressed that, if that's a practice we want to get back to. So everyone.
Well, I think the practice may want to get back, we'll probably eliminate those committees. That's what they're suggesting now.
No standing committees.
So if there's any feedback from this bylaws presentation, which I can't imagine it would be, but does this go back through the chain?
If there's any change to the bylaws, yes, it has to go back up that chain. Because county council has to sign off on.
Okay.
I don't think we have any significant changes. Is there that you're hearing? I'm not. Could be something minor. Well, we'll see if there is changes.
Well, I
can we make
seen
them there.
The bylaws.
Right, exactly.
Well, actually, it's kind of two things. There's the bylaws, like getting rid of having to fill in the 8 hours, things like that, which no other committee does in all of Orange County. So we want to get rid of things like that that are an impediment for people. And then also, there's a separate discussion as if we want to still have standing committees. The bylaws currently say that that's up to this group right now. If we want to have standing committees, they can go up and down.
Are we going to have discussion at our general?
I think we should.
Yeah, I think we need to. We just want to do it here.
Right.
We had thought, well, what happened, Elaine? We were trying to get a feel from our members of what wasn't working and why. And a lot of it was they were having difficulty making the committee meetings, and we were having great difficulty getting chairs for those committee meetings. It was like, okay, you know, why are we beating our heads against the wall? Is this something we can combine and get all this information at the general meeting? And admittedly not, because I'm sure the standing were able to dig a little deeper and stuff. So, but I want to weigh that with the group and get a commitment one way or the other. I don't want us to say, yeah, we'll keep them in, and we have to pull teeth to get people.
Well, you might find at some point you may establish an ad hoc committees for a specific item. If you feel you need a working group on that. I do have a question, though, on the hours. Erin, do you know if there's a requirement from CDA that we have so many volunteer hours?
There's not. We checked
out. Oh, okay. All right, good.
So if there's no other organization that fills timesheet, and yet the Office on Aging submits a report to board supervisors that lists hours
and so forth. How do they get their homes, or is that just a guess?
Or I haven't seen that report for a while, but again, I mean, maybe it just has been
a
different way.
A PowerPoint demonstration showing the value of volunteer hours that is committed by the county volunteers and so forth.
That was one of the main reasons why people didn't want to be part of SCAT, was those mailing the sheets in, filling the sheets in, feeling like it was almost questioning that they were adults that were going
to
do what they said.
That's what it went to. You get aid if you're, and if for some reason you didn't even say something, you're given aid. And that's, and if you go over that and you want to claim it, you can do that. But we'll start with everybody getting the aid. And that seems to be working pretty good. You don't have all that paperwork to do.
I think the other thing that, like, and Barbara, you were part of this committee too.
Which one?
When we talked about the bylaws.
Oh, right? Yeah.
When you're trying to explain to a potential person that's interested in SCAC that they have to go to this and that, fill out this form and do this and that, it's hard to do that with people that are really busy, and it's kind of a hodgepodge of things that you have to do. And once you're into it, you understand it, but it's not clean cut.
Well, I think reporting hours is a big mistake, not reporting hours, because there's great value in that. And that is known nationally. And to my knowledge, the Office on Aging is using that. If a dollar per volunteer service is worth $30, that's great value. And if you add up the hours that are being reported by SCAC membership, that is a substantial amount of value that is submitted. No, I think the other side of the coin in reporting dollars, there's got to be a benefit to that too. And I think where the county is failing, or where there's some failure with the reporting of hours, there's no recognition of that. In a volunteer organization that you have volunteers, you recognize those volunteer hours as a very substantial contribution. And you reward them by recognition. And there's areas where the Board of Supervisors could recognize volunteer service as a very valuable source.
Oh, it translates into money.
No, it doesn't transfer
into it translates into
they
money.
They translate into money. That's
as a volunteer organization, when you're filling out a grant, your volunteer service is worth some element to that grant value.
I think you make a good point, Dave, and it's probably of value. I just think it depends where it falls. It shouldn't be the responsibility of the members itself. Maybe that's something that staff should turn to the Office on Agency. Should have
control of that. That's my additional point, is the county recognizes volunteer services. They use those volunteer services for their reporting to the board.
And that's all they need to do is say, okay, every volunteer is, is given 8 hours.
Just a certificate from the Board of Supervisors recognized. Oh, there's a national report. There's the presidential national service. We're up to $4,000.
Well, I can tell you that's just a matter of us submitting it to the county and saying, hey, can we get our annual recognition of our volunteers, individual certificates, like any other group?
Right.
They can do that.
And there's many organizations that have a reporting system where you don't have to do a hand copy. You can do, and if the county is willing, and they could use it for their other volunteer services. So I think there are some concerns there, and I think there's a failure on many elements of that.
Well, I think the concern, though, is that we don't want to be doing that. And that would go to the Office on Aging and say, okay, we're going to just assume everyone here is doing 8 hours a month. They're doing more than that. And then we have to tell them, hey, by the way, I did 16 this month. And they can tell you that.
People wanted to submit.
So it's easy on them too. We don't want to fully burden them. Elaine, you had a comment on this?
Well, yeah, and I have a different perspective than Dave, but it's combining the not having the volunteer hours and possibly doing away with the standing committees. We want all of our members of SCAC to be engaged with the senior community. And if there's no reporting of hours that they were actually engaged with the senior community, and if there's no standing committees where they're going to come and discuss and go over different topics for engagement, I mean, my concern is over time, we're just going to get people who are going to come to a meeting once a month. That's it. They're not going to go visit their senior centers. They're not going to engage with the senior community. They're not going to participate in senior fairs. They're not going to be aware of the issues because they're not at a standing committee meeting discussing that. So I feel that's kind of taking away the involvement of the SCAC members from the senior committee or community rather.
Well, I that's in theory probably very true, but the reality is at our meetings, we're doing a lot of exactly that. We stress, get involved with your senior. There's good information. Carry it over to your group. Like Crystal said, she does when she leaves a SCAC. She takes that information to her council meeting and gives it.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing a lot. Elected, not everyone's a council member, not everyone is working in the senior community, such as Meredith and Patty and a few others.
But we have a liaison, a team that's working on those senior communities to share this information with them, comes out, shares with them. The reality is, Elaine, it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. So they weren't going there and giving this. They were, it went from, okay, we have, you're assigned a community center, visit a blah, blah, blah. They never did. They did a phone call, everything okay? Yep, boom. It's like, okay, so what we were hoping would happen doesn't necessarily. What we do continue to do is stress, hey, we're a senior community. We're the boots on the ground. You need to go out and engage. You engage by going to your community centers, by going to your groups where seniors are, talking to them, what issues are you coming up. That they can report back to the general. I mean, that's...
Okay, and that's what's going on their volunteer hours. And whether or not it's reporting, I just think it's an awareness that you need to stay engaged in the senior community and how do we communicate that if we're eliminating volunteer hours and we're eliminating standing committees?
I think we communicate that by talking during the general meeting or the subcommittees if we continue to have them about what my two senior centers about what their needs are.
And I think we can convey that in our meeting and say we're not eliminating volunteer hours. We're saying, hey, we'd like to see you do at least a minimum of 8 hours a month go out there. We're just not going to track it for you. You're big people, big adults,
yeah. You
know, track, but this is what we'd like to see you doing. As you accept membership here, we want you to be engaged. We had in the past used a standard of 8 hours. That's very minimal. After 3/4 of those 6 hours, you're going to get by just going to normal meetings. You're going to have to be involved here between exec and the general meeting.
So, and the thought was of our group that was thinking about all these things was that the general meeting would be an hour longer or so that we could have presentations or cover more topics that everyone would hear about.
That's a good idea.
So that we're not all driving around and kind of hearing parts of things.
People get very interested when they hear our speakers and they go, how do I get involved in that? So you're already seeing that synergy growing up. So I like seeing that.
I've had a note. I'm on the board of Friends of Oasis. And every month at a board meeting, I give a senior services report and I report on things that are happening here. And I give information to the person who does the monthly meeting of the seniors, the whole senior community at Oasis. And they get speakers that we've heard here. Mm-hmm. So does filter down.
Yeah. Well, and I say this is a unique group here, but there's 30 other members who may not be as involved. And that's my concern that who's that?
That's our job then at their meetings to make sure we're conveying that to them. Okay. Say, hey, you need to be engaged. Why else are you here? Why are you a member of SCAC? Just to come to a monthly meeting? I don't think so. Well, hopefully not. But take this information back.
Has anybody seen the boarding sheet for the volunteer hours?
Yeah, comes around. We sign off on it.
I mean month by month, state by year by year.
No, I haven't seen that.
Okay, I should present that then to anyhow. Unfortunately, I don't have one.
Okay, yeah.
Because that is substantial. Numbers add up. I've got some volunteers that are reporting 140 hours.
But that's up for the Office on Aging to report to the county. County is that. That's when they can say, here's how much we save through volunteer hours. That's because we're just one of many volunteer groups, I'm sure. So, no, there is a value. I'm not minimizing there's no value to it. I'm just saying, who's the one that tracks that?
Okay, if we don't track it, the county is a...
Well, our rep here will track it.
Yes, we're still collecting the county one. Yeah, it's still being collected. And we're still reporting our hours. The county OCCR is still requesting it every year.
So how do you collect it from the other volunteers serving on other committees through the county then?
I don't know. I know it would be dependent on
how estimated.
I would say it's estimated. I wouldn't guarantee that. That would be a lot of somebody has spent a lot of time
doing. And honestly, I don't I do not know if other departments take their hours from their board.
I asked
advisories.
I asked and the answer was no.
Yes.
Oh really?
So that's not, it's in OCCR, it's animal care and their volunteers. It's the parks and their volunteers. That's within OCCR. That's the kind of groups that are reporting. That's how the types of hours other programs are reporting.
Well, you guys
are kind of unique in the sense that you have these 8 hours requirements. So we added those. So that you could get credit. Yeah.
Okay.
So where has, like filling out these, tabulating the hours, and where does that go at the end?
Because every year, CEO county.
Who do I submit that to?
Probably Pauline would probably be. Okay. Yeah, whoever, you know.
It would be.
Yeah. Usually, usually it's whoever you heard.
And she gets that. Okay, any more on that? Okay, how about this? Interaction with the Board of Supervisors, I assume we'll get that after we have our bylaws solid, and then we need to set up a meeting with them. And I think Pauline already knows that. In fact, we've had some difficulty trying just to do that.
Well, we wanted to get feedback, too, because remember we gave them the last year's 5 items. We still have not.
That's probably going to be our first meeting, not what they expect of us, but how about feedback once you've already had, which tells us we keep needing to do this if you're not paying attention to it. We will and do, but we want to make sure that they're aware of it at least. That one we gave, Elaine, when you were chair, we ever follow up what they did with that? Did anything happen with that or just thanks? Appreciate it?
No, there was follow up. It's funny. There was. And some supervisors are more engaged and some had individual meetings with us afterwards. So there was follow up, and it also helped them focus on certain issues. So when things came before the Board of Supervisors, they knew what we were looking at. But yeah, there was a follow up.
Okay, very good. So number 8, action items. SCAC appointment, Irene Rhodes, SCAC and Housing Transportation Committee. Recommendation is review and approve membership appointment of Irene Rose. She was at the last meeting, by the way, for term ending December 31st, 2024, and her appointment to the Housing and Committee Standing Committee. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
We have a second.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. She is now a member. Well, does she have to go before our meeting, become an official member, or no?
No, it's the executive.
Then she's a member. Okay, good. Poor gal's been hanging on. She comes to things and, well, you're not a member yet. It's in the back row.
That's because we didn't have a quorum last time at this meeting.
Yeah, that's true.
So, and I guess mine didn't make this agenda, so next one.
No, well, make sure they're coming. They have to go to...
me, personally.
Oh. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And then I do have another one who wants to apply.
You should be on. Well...
Kristen Manna.
Oh, okay, good.
She wants to apply, so... Expect 2 more.
Talk to her about that. She finally going to actually do this now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I talked to her a number of months ago about it.
Yes.
Also, we have the person from Buena Park that wants to come back that turned in her application. Where's that? I can't remember her name. She used to be in charge of the
ask.
She used to be in charge of the senior center liaisons.
Oh, no, that's you at Buena Park, Osana. Yeah.
You mean Cynthia Thacker?
Yes.
Oh, Cynthia Thacker. Yes. Yes, she did. She said she was coming back. Have we received anything from her, Cynthia?
No, yes, we have.
Yeah, let's get so we can do Elaine and Cynthia at the same time. Get moving on.
Well, and Kristen.
And Kristen. Okay, chair report, new business. Maybe just might cover all the new business. Anybody else have any new business? How about old business? Too. Chair comments, I'd just like to say that I think our general meetings are going quite well. We get good presenters, we get good exchange of ideas, and I think we have a balanced questioning process now. So not any one individual is dominating the whole meeting. So it seems to be working out quite nicely. Any thoughts, your comments?
No, I think it's going very well. And I'm glad to see there's a lot of new blood on the committee, a lot of new interest.
Oh, yes, there is with that for certain. Okay. Standing committee report, your group, Meredith?
Senior citizens engagement could not meet because of flooding concerns on Monday, so that meeting was canceled. I believe was Wellbeing Reimagined canceled.
Yes.
Do you know why?
I just got a note that it was canceled.
Yeah, I do not know why that was canceled, but I heard it was. And then housing
aftermath of the storm.
No, that was before the storm.
Oh, in anticipation of the storm.
I'm not sure.
You're out of Costco buying groceries.
Yes.
Paper and water.
You know why? Once again, we never learn.
No, I just received a memo that it was canceled.
Okay, we'll find.
And then the other one is the housing and transportation. Yes, and I know that they had Veterans Affairs, like she said last time, and that was a good presentation.
It was. Okay, good. Announcements. All right, let's go around. Any announcements? David?
Mike Clear.
Lane?
You want to have fun this weekend? Come to Laguna Niguel for the Sea Country Festival. It starts tonight at 5 o'clock. It goes all weekend. Bands, rides, food, and fun.
That sounds like fun. We just, by the way, the city, our city just had a health fair. Not our city, but actually Orange had a health fair. Hopefully somebody got the invite by there. Also this Saturday, we are having a disaster preparedness communication training. Disaster preparedness for us is a very real thing because of our fires. And so now we have a really good, we got all the stakeholders together and had a meeting. Should have been common sense, but hadn't been done before. So I said, okay, we're doing this because a lot of our people complain that we don't know what our escape routes are. And consequently, all the roads get clogged, and it did happen. So now we've got all the stakeholders, we've got police, fire, schools, water district, Red Cross, and they're going to present, and we do have now a evacuation plan, which you guys may want to think about this, having your cities do this. We've broken the city up into sections, and we have a big map, and all you have to do is find your, where you live, what is your number on the map. Click that and it'll show you what your evacuation route is, where to go. And I think it's just light years ahead of what we've been doing before. So now the challenge is to get that out to the community so everybody's very familiar with it. And they're asking questions. So we know it's getting out. It's on our website. We're going to do these little these neighborhood meetings so people can feel very comfortable with it because that was a huge issue in our hill area where we get a lot of fires, having been the victim of that myself, actually.
I have a question.
Sure.
Any of your communities having active shooter training?
We did. Yes, we did. Sheriff's put that on for us. It was very good, actually. And I'd recommend that for everyone.
Had one from Newport Beach Police Department at Oasis, the board and employees. Yeah.
Well, that's on the wake of all these active shooters in, especially
Cook's Corner.
Yeah, places of worship and Cook's Corner. What do you do with an active shooter? Of course, that was a police officer, too, retired. Anyway, that's every community should be looking at doing something like that.
Yeah, we've had that, and the Interfaith Council has had one specifically for the churches.
Yeah, I live just a mile away.
You do?
Yeah, that was pretty bad. 10 people.
Well, but we didn't hear him. Our windows must be well insulated.
Boy, you're not a kid.
Yeah.
Or the acoustics are funny when there's hills.
Oh, yeah. And so I normally go by Cook's Corners.
What's the deal? I guess the guy there, the retired officer.
He was getting divorced.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was, getting divorced, because he knew his wife was there, and she was there with another gal.
So I think she was
there,
the first one he shot.
Yeah. He didn't kill her, though, but killed the girlfriend.
Her friend, yeah.
Terrible.
Divorce. Just, okay, we're divorced. You're gone.
Yeah.
Now it's, I'm going to divorce you, by the way, I'm going to kill you first. Wow.
Terrible. Okay.
Well, I guess that my announcement or concern is SB 525 is still going strong. So that's $25 an hour for healthcare workers.
That can be fine.
Yep. And that'll affect senior living for sure.
What's bill number? SB?
SB 525. Yeah, that's by Durazzo. It's the healthcare minimum wage of $25 an hour.
Is that too high, you're saying? It should be lower?
It's statewide, so it's going to kill the Central Valley.
Ooh.
It's not geographic.
Once again, one size fits all. Why can we not get over that mindset?
Yeah, so, I mean, Leading Edge California is very concerned about this.
You know what, then? Wish I had known that. Last night, I was the League of Cities had a meeting. ACCOC just had a legislative update. If I'd have known that, I'd push for this to get a no on that.
Yeah, so right, we'll find out in September if it gets out of appropriations, and if it does, then it'll be up to the governor to decide. But it's going to cost the state a lot of money, too, because the state has a lot of medical.
It's going to cost the state. It's probably not going to be approved.
But he doesn't want to veto it.
No, he wants votes.
And he wants the unions to back him if he has another run for a higher office.
And the union wants this?
Oh, yeah, this is the SEIU bill. Okay. So anyway, the people that are going to end up paying for this are older adults.
Of course. We don't have a lot of political clout. Get rid of it.
And we would love for everyone to make $25 an hour. It's just the question of, you know, the state's not going to reimburse
maybe it. It's getting out the word to the governor and those groups that seniors vote. Letting all the seniors know this is how it's done.
But isn't there a basic economic correlation here? We raise the minimum wage. To cover that, the businesses, the restaurants will increase their price.
It's a cycle.
They're not gonna take the hit. So who takes the hit? We on the receiving end. And especially the underclass, how are they gonna afford this? Gas, food, everything. Keeps going higher and higher.
Well, the thing about
when they get this, it stays neutral. You
and the thing
get
about this bill is that it's all workers in the healthcare facility. So at the hospital or at the nursing home, that means that the gardener and the person washing the dishes is going to make $25 an hour too. It's everyone.
And yet they won't increase the
reimbursement.
The reimbursement for the allowance that seniors have for living.
Yeah, unfortunately, they've lost the thought. Minimum wage is not a career wage. It's a launching pad. That's where you start. Get your skills.
It's for your high school students. It's for your
what
first
was it
job.
To be. Now you've got families that are trying to make them.
Yeah, my son keeps saying, I'm not worth $15.50 an hour.
Let alone $25.
Exactly. I know my daughter who's trying to, soon to be looking for a new job, loves the idea.
Right.
Eventually.
She's a high schooler. It's like, she doesn't need that much money. I mean,
Exactly. So I don't know what individuals want to do about this, but I have information, and if anyone wants it, about there's a big opposed coalition.
League of Cities, ACCOC is opposing. I have to double check on that, but I'm pretty sure they
are. Chamber of Commerce and everyone's.
Yeah. Did give that to John Pointer for CSL and for the Senior Citizens Engagement Committee.
Yes.
I've mentioned this about 5 or 6 times over the last few months, but
are you aware of this? Oh, sorry.
I mean, me personally not, but I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not sure. CSL proposals and other organizational proposals.
We didn't think it was going to get this far. We thought that the governor would ask someone to stall it somewhere along the line.
And
they didn't.
This means union support. Okay. All right. This is one we want to reach out to our folks. I'll reach out to my colleagues. Announcements, SCAC members. Do we have any announcements? I think we just went to the most.
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Well, with that, then I will call for the adjournment, and we will meet again on September 22nd, 9:30 a.m.